It's time for your afternoon praise on Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, it is now 13 minutes after the hour, 5 o'clock, and we are joined on the line by Professor Nyahoma. Prof, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Prof, I know that you are in transit, so your time may be very limited with us this afternoon. But nonetheless, we are going to perhaps go through it very quickly. Our second installment of prayer, what are we looking at today?
Yes, well, today we want to look at the theology of prayer and looking at it from the aspect of man. From the aspect of man. Yesterday we looked at prayer, looking at the whole spectrum of prayer,
okay,
as in how it becomes a lifestyle, mm-hmm, and how we should, how prayer should be like a breath of the soul, that mm-hmm, at any given chance we move away from clothing prayer with the religious garb and putting it with a relational garb, where it is out of my relationship with God that we pray. So today we want to look at what we may call the anthropological spectrum or perspective of prayer.
Anthropological perspective of prayer. Wow.
Yes, yes.
All right. But please unpack this for us, Prof. I know that you are in transit, so we're going to be hearing stuff from that background. So to our listeners.
Yes, yes, yes.
So to our listeners, please bear with us. The prof is in transit, so he is going to be just giving us a few moments just to have a look at this subject. Prof, please unpack it for us.
Okay, so let's start from the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, and we look at verse 1.
Okay.
And Jesus is speaking, and he says, and he spake to them a parable unto this end. And I like that part which says, unto this end. You know, in theology, we speak of this parable as an eschatological parable. That is to say, it's a parable about the end time. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we speak of the audience of Jesus in parables or in the Sermon on the Mountain or in any of his deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Luke chapter 18, that word "to this end" suggests that it's a parable about the end time. So he spake a parable to them to this end, which means the recipients of this parable are those who are living in the last days. And what is the parable talking about? That men ought to pray always without ceasing. In that text, you find three problems. The first problem is that men don't pray. That's why he's saying men ought to pray.
Yeah.
So when we look at humanity, we are hesitant. We are not about prayer, you know.
Yeah.
We pray when we're in trouble. We pray when we need something. Prayer is not a lifestyle. It's not something that we do. And because of that lack, Jesus then brings in an antidote to that lack and then says, you ought to pray. So it's the first encouragement or the first challenge is men don't pray at all.
Mm-hmm.
The second problem that you find being highlighted by this text then says, ought to pray always. That's the second problem, which then highlights that those who pray amongst men, they don't pray at all. So the first group is the majority. They don't pray at all. The second group that prays, they don't pray always. So men ought to pray always, right? And then you have a third group that then says, without ceasing. So challenge number one, men don't pray. Challenge number two, those who pray, they don't pray always. Challenge number three, those who pray always give up easily.
Yeah.
So that is the threefold challenge or the threefold backdrop or that you find within the anthropological aspects of prayer, looking at how man finds himself behooved by these three challenges: a prayerless lifestyle, praying sometimes, easily giving up.
My goodness. And I think that the results are disastrous.
Definitely. Definitely. So you find, for example, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, how you'd go and pray without ceasing always and repeating the prayer always. And that is the model that we must take.
Got to follow.
Yeah, so let's expose this. So when we look at the anthropological aspects of prayer, is we are looking at prayer from the perspective of man. Why do we pray? Right? We pray when we need. We pray when we lack. We pray when we're in trouble. When everything is fine, we don't pray.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah? So we then use God, and we use prayer as a spare will. It's a spare will kind of religion, where you only access the spare will when all other wills, when there is a problem in one of the wills.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what we do with prayer. Now, and how should we pray? How should we pray? And these are the challenges that you then find with prayer with men. How should we pray? You find different types of prayer in the Bible, whether you're looking at the prayer of Moses, you're looking at the prayer of Daniel, you're looking at the prayer of Jesus, you're looking at the prayer of Peter. The moment we talk about prayer and how should we pray, I mean, you have seen many people who, when you approach them and say, we would want you to offer our first prayer or closing prayer, there are many times when I was working as a pastor and I would hear someone saying, I can't pray, you know. Everyone who can talk can pray.
Oh, yes.
Because prayer is like you're talking to a friend. This is why I don't like the word prayer. I like talk to God. And it's relational.
Because it every brings it
conversation,
to life.
Yes, every conversation changes with relationship. With a person that you have a relationship with, you can spend the whole night talking.
Oh, yes.
Because you have a relationship. But with a person that you don't have a relationship with, the conversations end on the ceiling level. You talk about weather. You know, when you meet someone at the train station, meet someone in the parking lot, you have a small chat about the weather, about social issues. And that's how other people converse with God, in that their conversations are not deeper. They start and end on the very the very spectrum of that which is social, which does not have a deeper relationship.
Man, so which means that in fact, for some, especially when you don't look at it as a conversation, it would be a burdensome activity.
Definitely. I think of, look at the prayer of Peter when he was sinking. You remember that story when when Jesus came to his disciples walking on water, and when the disciples were afraid, thinking that they'd seen a ghost, they then said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. And Jesus says to Peter, come. And then Peter walked on water going to Jesus. As he was walking on water, he started sinking. And in his prayer, it was not like the prayers that we get from our very, you know, in every church, you've got these old women of God
who
they pray, you know, they'll say, oh, our Father, our God, Jehovah, Yahweh, who's in the third heaven and in the third. And they have got these illustrious words to prayer. But the prayer of Peter was not like that. The prayer of Peter was simple. Out of a relationship, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. That was enough. Relational. Lord, save me. And that was, for me, it's the most powerful prayer that you find in the Bible.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, Mfundis, we should let you go, and we are going to be connecting again with you tomorrow, and let's allow you to have a beautiful voyage wherever you're going.
Thank you very much. It's always wonderful to talk about prayer.
Thank you so much. We'll connect again tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, viewers, listeners, rather.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.